The Institute on Religious Life and the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence of Chicago bring you the seventh of a series of lectures given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. on the theme, The History of Religious Life. Father John Hardin is a professor of theology at St. John's University in New York. He is a well-known lecturer and consultant to various national, religious, and educational enterprises, and is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin is the author of many articles and books, including Holiness in the Church and the Catholic Catechism, which has been strongly endorsed by Holy Mother Church. In the following lecture, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, St. Francis of Assisi and the Witness to Evangelical Poverty. Father Hardin.
First, the sources of Franciscan spirituality. Notice there are three sets of rules. The first two are not official. The last one is. The 1209 rule is the rule that just, you might say, pour out of the heart of Francis with no thought of structure or organization. 21 is more structured. 23 is, of course, the big one. The testament especially points out what he would like to have his followers do. It's a kind of, this is my inheritance to you. This is my charism. The admonitions and the associated writings, one of the remarkable things about Francis, the gentle Francis could admonish. And when he admonished, you knew it. In fact, I've watched great people. They are a rare combination of gentleness and firmness. Some people seem to be great because they're so kind and gentle, but in a showdown, they lack firmness. Some people may seem to be great because they're strict, austere, orthodox. You could write a catechism from the way they live. But there's no give, no flexibility. The great men and women of God have the rare combination of constancy and adaptability. Francis had both. And his admonitions reveal the firm side of his character, which you might not get from, well, the birds that he told to stop chirping, or the wolves that he tamed. The rule of the poor Clares was, of course, St. Clare's, but, of course, inspired by Francis. Letters, there are not many authentic letters of Francis. They all breathe a deep piety and easy communication with God that he lived. His prayers. You may be somewhat disappointed when you read the omnibus. You may find one or the other of your favorite prayers of St. Francis, about which the specialists have at least some slight doubt whether it's authentic. Well, as one who is not a Franciscan, I take much of that scholarship, pardon me, with a grain of salt. I feel if something has over the centuries been considered as coming from someone, well, why not give Francis credit? The office of the Passion, we need to know that that too is of St. Francis' spirit. We don't usually think of the gentle Francis, the smiling Francis, as one who was so devoted to Christ's Passion. He was the first, now not the only, but the first, whose stigmatization, whose stigmata, the Church officially approved as having been genuine. And the Canticle of the Sun, his great canticle of praise. The early biography is just a word about each. the most important single, though it comes in a double form, life of Francis is by Celano. The most theological of the lives is that of St. Bonaventure. The Mirror of Perfection is of a very early production, some would say within months of St. Francis' death. It does describe the spirituality of Francis because it is somewhat analytic. It is a theme, the theme being Christian perfection. How to reach it in following in the footsteps of Francis. And the two legends, I think, are misnamed legends. That doesn't mean they're mythological, but the name has stuck. In other words, legenda does not mean what we skeptical Americans associate with the word, something that's not true. Though it, of course, contains many stories that we cannot verify from other sources. But they were written by the early companions of Francis and have high credibility. The Fioretti, I suppose, are the best known of the anecdotes about St. Francis. This is one place where logic, pardon me, where piety smiles at logic. People who love Francis, they don't need anything else. The Fioretti are enough for them. Sure, there are things that might never have happened. So what? I believe it. All right, you believe it. The Fioretti, I dare say, are in all the modern languages of the world. They are in all collections of the great literature of the nations, among the great books, in the World Library of Literature. The Fioretti, everybody knows. Before we finish this, I would like to mention one name by the name of Sabatier. Now, Sabatier, as you know, was a French Calvinist, but a great admirer of Francis. So he proceeded to, well, you might say, Protestantize Francis. And he's a little different than the Francis you're accustomed to, but what do you expect of a Calvinist? So, but Sabatier is highly respected in the non-Catholic world as a biographer and commentator on Franciscan spirituality. At any rate, Francis has deeply influenced the whole world and not just the Catholic Church. The two papal documents of Leo XIII and Pius X need, I think, to be seen, and if you have time for, to be read. Because they talk about, on the one hand, the history of the Franciscan order and summarize a great deal in a short space. They are also the Holy See's efforts to do something to somehow reduce the divisions or somehow, well, calm the troubled waters that have arisen in 700 years of Franciscan history. Because Franciscans are all deeply in love, in fact, sometimes violently in love with St. Francis, they will brook no criticism of what they think St. Francis really meant and how he thought, or they thought he thought, they should live. That, by the way, comes first. In other words, that's the first in logical sequence. The second in the logical sequence is the analysis of Franciscan spirituality. I have been modifying my analysis of the main features of Franciscan spirituality each year that I teach it. The prayer of praise lays the groundwork for St. Francis. For him, God not only comes first, he remains first. And within the worship of God, the most important posture that a human spirit can assume in the presence of its Creator is one of adoration and praise. All other prayers or forms of communication with God are dependent on and derivative from this one. Devotion to Christ's Passion. Francis could never stop marveling that God became man in order to suffer. And that is why, by the way, that Francis was so in love with the cross. It was the cross that his master embraced. And he was very down to earth, very practical. And he did not exclude what for most religious is their principal source of suffering, other people. And sometimes the people they love the most dearly. The Holy Eucharist. Oh, to get this across is to understand Francis. For Francis, Jesus never left the earth. He never did. He's here. He talked about the Eucharist like, well, you talk about Christ. He's here. You don't speak about him, say, being before the Blessed Sacrament. What do you mean, before the Blessed Sacrament? Before Christ. And many of the virtues of Francis, he saw shown by Jesus in the Eucharist, his humility, his obedience, his simplicity, his poverty. Poverty means giving up what you have a right to. Christ as God has a right to the glory of his divinity, and as man has a right to the acceptance and recognition of his being, who he really is. He hides both. See the blasphemy of a book like this? Talk about the particles after Mass not being Christ. Want to scream or crawl into the ground and die. Not because it's said, but because bishops approve this. For 10 years, the Holy See, I think I've been telling you this. Get to the bishops. Pray for the bishops. They are the number one problem in the Catholic Church. Pray for them. We need them. They're successors of the apostles. But are some bishops misled? God, help them. Let's mean it. Help them. Spiritual joy. Oh, but how spiritual that joy was. In fact, some of the experiences and anecdotes that Francis describes when he's asked to tell, you know, you're talking about joy always. What is this joy? Well, you know, I'm sure each one has her own or his own favorite story. But you say to yourself, you know, some terrible humiliation. You make a fool of yourself. Or you at least somebody else makes a fool of you. And that's joy. Now, Francis, are you talking the same language that we are? Well, not quite. And by the way, let's make sure we know what that means. If we were to describe man in concentric circles, this his body. Within that, his emotions. Within that, his soul. And within that, his spirit. Which, by the way, is St. Paul. Now, this part of me, all kinds of pleasures and joys of the body, right? A good meal, a night's rest, food, drink, pleasures of sex, right? Then emotions. But my dear friend, Father Ebeling, I think I told you, the one symphony that I attended, Cincinnati, I was a scholastic, Father Ebeling was our musician, getting up in years. The rector asked me, would you mind coming or going with Father Ebeling to the Cincinnati Symphony? Otherwise, he'd have to go alone, and he wants a companion. I'd never been to a symphony in my life. Well, it lasted about 3 hours. I prayed. And I counted the number of musicians. Then I fell asleep. And every once in a while, I look up at Father Ebeling, just in ecstasy. I'm sure it was beautiful. I'm sure it was. Totally lost on me. Okay? So there are pleasures and joys in the emotions. Which, by the way, would not impress, for example, an animal. I'm sure a cow wouldn't know the difference between Beethoven and Mozart. Okay? Then the soul. Pleasures of the mind. Solving problems. Achievements in the wheel. A conquering of empires and a man like Napoleon. Okay? All the discoveries of the great geniuses of history. Joys of the mind and will. Ah. And down deep inside is the spirit. Now, the spiritual joy of Francis. Hope I'm clear. You may have anything but joy in the soul, or the emotions, or the body, and you can still be ecstatically happy in spirit. That's the hard one. When by all human calculations, a person should be in despair. Ah, but there's more to man than just body, emotions, and even soul. There is a spirit where God dwells.
Attitude towards creatures, we'll see that. What I may probably do is select one or the other to give you some synthesis without spreading myself too thinly, otherwise the flavor of this great spirituality might be lost. He needs, I think, to be better understood because he has suffered mainly, Francis has, at the hands of his friends who make him out to be all kinds of things. You know, the love of creatures. You know, petting a wolf. Well, all right, I mean, there's something to that, but it's much deeper than that. You know, the lover of animals. You know, the patron of, you know, those that are, that love animals, animal lovers. Fraternal charity. If there's anything, and by the way, as you read any one life of Francis, just look at how much emphasis he placed on fraternal charity. As a matter of fact, to this day, there are three orders of the Franciscans in the world. That is, of the band's orders that are under solemn vows. They're all OFMs. The straight OFMs, no OFMs. Capuchin. Now, this, of course, the friar is misleading. It, of course, comes from the French frère and means brother.
So the order of, and of course, little, or little rivers.
In any case, the importance of fraternal charity as the manifestation of one's love for God. And he was very strict in reprimanding and even evicting people who failed in charity. And loyalty to the church. Oh, how that needs to be said today. To the Holy Father, the bishops, and to the church's teaching. Without identifying the community. I had occasion to preach because the chaplain in the mother house asked me. I traveled some distance to do it. I preached the sermon at the funeral with a bishop there of the former mother general before that community had secularized, that she died of a broken heart. I think, in effect, she died way before her time, just crushed by what she saw happening in her Franciscan community. And the chaplain begged off. He said, no matter what I say will be held against me. There's going to be a church full of people, the bishop and priests. Would you preach? So I said I would. Preached for about 15 minutes. Well, among the things that I said, and this was the problem, in fact, the community faced, they just were not listening to the directives of the church. So I said that there are three qualities of St. Francis that I think the Mother General whom we are burying today beautifully exemplified. Like Francis, she was a great lover of poverty. I know nobody recorded that sermon. Like Francis, she was a great lover of poverty. Like Francis, she was a great lover of simplicity, which I said means she did not like duplicity. And then I ended up with a peroration, and like Francis, she was very loyal to the Holy See. And that this community will survive only if you return to the spirit of the Francis on whose charism you were founded. I have never been called back. So loyalty to the church. And finally, universal apostolate. It is not common knowledge that Francis really opened the modern missionary work of the Catholic Church. His ideas, his method, his stress on understanding and being sympathetic with the people you want to evangelize, and his idea that you're supposed to evangelize and just go, period. And not even take money for your journey. Franciscan poverty, first we define, let's read the definition. The poverty of St. Francis stresses the imitation of Christ in his attribute of humility as an expression of the love of God and a more effective love of one's neighbor. Notice, poverty on earth is to be a reflection of an attribute of God in heaven. Now, the attribute of God in heaven who became man is, of course, his humility. There are three words we should always keep together.
poverty. And let me give you the Greek word that Paul uses, because it's just one word. Kenosis. Which means emptying self. In other words, the practice of poverty is very closely identified with God's having humiliated himself in becoming man.
Because whatever else poverty means, it means that one does not display or make use, put to use, things that I have a right to. All right? In any case, it's the imitation of Christ's humility. And why? As an expression of my love for God. See, for Francis, God became man, and he is man. He made none of the subtle distinctions that theologians commonly make between the God who, well, became incarnate and the God who did not. For Francis, that's nonsense. There's only one God, right? Now, sure, only one of the three persons became man. But didn't we hear that each person is true God? So who became man? God became man. So God is now humble. That's right, God is now humble. How did he humiliate himself? By hiding, by not revealing, by not manifesting. Or as I think I told you, my sixth grade teacher told me, Johnny, don't show off. This is pride, isn't it? We want the world to know what we've got. And if we don't have enough, we deceive the world by pretending we've got more. All right? Now, the insight and humility that Francis gives, plain as day, that even what you have, you don't manifest. Ah, that's not a cliche. Christ had his divinity. He didn't manifest it except sufficiently to prove that he was God to his skeptical contemporaries. And above all, he had joy. And he embraced the cross. Okay. And a more effective love of one's neighbor. The only successful people are those, I mean in influencing others, who are humble. In the sacristy where I was vesting for Mass, when is today? Saturday? Mm-hmm. Yesterday morning at 5 to 7, I was vesting for Mass at the Bronx, in the first of the two communities of Mother Teresa that I serve. And there in the sacristy is a silhouette of Christ. And the question, who except God loves the poor? Isn't that nice? Who except God loves the poor? And if we wish to be godlike, we wish to win the poor, and most of the human race is poor, dreadfully poor. Either we identify with them, or they will never identify with us. All right?
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.